Hello and welcome to Capital A, unauthorized opinions on money, art, and everything. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that one of my ongoing concerns is what kind of art is capable of speaking to us in the current historical moment that we're all living through. You could call it a moment of stuckness. Meaningful change feels stuck today because of the incompetence of our leaders and the unseriousness of the expert class. The future feels blocked because of the ecological catastrophe we're all counting down to. And perhaps worst of all, we ourselves feel stuck as political and historical actors because of the sort of learned helplessness that is so characteristic of the contemporary world. In the last 50 or so years of this malaise, it's not surprising to me that contemporary art also feels a little bit stuck, whether it's in this sort of cynical, celebratory mode of figures like Jeff Koons, or else in this sort of helpless criticality, where all art can do is raise awareness of problems we all already know we have. Nevertheless, to me, it does feel like in the last 2 years, something has begun to shift. I think perhaps because of the growing awareness of climate change, the shock of the COVID pandemic, the shock of the Trump election, all of these things have kind of had this effect of shaking us awake a little bit and making us realize that shit is real. Stuckness or no, the time to act is now. And I think you can see that from all kinds of things, from the Black Lives Matter protests, the March for Our Lives, Greta Thunberg's Sunrise Movement, the Sanders campaign. It feels like a different world already than it was just 5 or 6 years ago. So one of the things that I've been trying to keep tabs on is whether or not this shift has been registered in the field of contemporary art. Whether there's any new work out there that feels different somehow, that breaks with the mold of the last 50 or 60 years of postmodern simulation and simulacra. That's what drew me to the work of Paris-based painter Thomas Agrigné. Please pardon my terrible French pronunciation. Without putting words in Thomas' mouth, I think what drew me and my partner Georgina to his work were two things. The first was the emotional tone of the works. Here, in the middle of all this postmodern stuckness, were these paintings about human bodies that are free and in motion. Just the feeling of running, of laughing, of maybe escaping some danger, or just being alive. And the second thing was this unabashed technical mastery of the works, this classical Greek-like understanding of the form and the dynamism and the beauty of the human body, mixed in with this very contemporary misshapenness or sometimes even gross quality. The way that Georgina phrased it to me was that maybe humanism has to be gross today, that maybe we need humanism, we need to believe in ourselves again, but the fault of the humanism of the past was that it failed to acknowledge the grossness of human nature, the horrors of human history, just the way that we're all screwed up. And that's what these paintings do. They celebrate humanity without shying away from just how screwed up we all are and how much we've screwed up the world around us. That's our read of these paintings. So without assuming too much about what he thought, Georgina and I wanted to sit down with Thomas and talk to him about his thoughts around what his paintings are and how they live in the world. This episode is a little piece of that conversation. Now, I've spoken a lot on this podcast about art on a theoretical level, but I saw this interview as an opportunity to get into the nitty-gritty with one particular artist and his work. And I'm sure that he's not the only artist out there that's doing interesting, innovative, exciting work right now. So for those of you listening to this, if there's something out there that you've seen which inspires you, which moves you, or which you just think is new and interesting, please share it with me. I'd love to see it and maybe feature it on future episodes of this podcast. For now, I hope you enjoy this short conversation between myself, my partner Georgina, and Paris-based painter Thomas Agrigné. This is Capital A, Episode 15, Optimism and Taking Risks, Thomas Agrigné on his paintings.
Thank you.
Capital A is sponsored by my good friends at Shoestring Press in Brooklyn. Here is a note from my longtime collaborator, Lane Sell. Shoestring Press is celebrating 7 years of doing its thing. And boy, did they do that thing this year. They locked that thing down, moved that thing around, reassembled that thing across the street, and opened that thing back up. So here they are, doing that thing. If you're a printmaker, painter, or draftsman looking for space to do your thing, Shoestring is the thing for that thing. With facilities and flexibility for silkscreen, etching, relief print, lithography, oil painting, book arts, papercraft, whatever your thing may be, especially those things. They've got lessons to learn a thing and a curmudgeonly master printer to help make your thing. Visit Shoestring online at shoestringpressny.com and schedule a visit to Classen Avenue's oldest print shop for a tour. So I guess my first question is about the kind of emotional tone of your work, because criticality is such a central fixture of the contemporary art world. So there's this, I think, an optimism and a freshness to your work, which is unusual in the current critical art world. I wonder how you would characterize your work on that kind of level.
No, you thought right, because it's more the optimistic aspect that I want to reveal in my paintings. When I started seriously painting maybe 15 or 20 years ago, I noticed that in contemporary art, there was mainly sarcastic art criticizing society. And this is a good thing. This is very, sometimes very clever, very interesting. But this was not the way I wanted to evolve into art. I felt that there was a void, maybe, in the art world. And more personally, I believe in optimism as the only solution we have to move forward. So optimism is the key to do things, to take risks. And if you do not have this, you do not do anything. And even if I have political ideas and I want to criticize things, I feel it's more relevant to represent things and people and actions I want to see and I want to show than to represent things I want to criticize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that's especially important today. The things that many of us would like to criticize are themselves critical.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that, Phil?
Well, I mean that a lot of the culture that we would like to criticize is a culture of negativity. It's a culture that is skeptical. It's a culture mm-hmm. that doesn't believe. It's a culture that's cynical. There's something about capitalism in its contemporary form, which is a critique of everything. Capitalism in its contemporary form is a critique of, call it traditional values, call it religion, call it ideology, call it like capitalism as it exists today, criticizes all of those things and says, actually, the world is just dollars. Mm-hmm. Everything is just dollars. And so you can critique that critique, but you're just adding more critique to the world.
Yeah, you're playing the game, yeah.
You're playing the game.
This kind of loops into what our second question was going to be, and I feel like you've answered that question, and there's this really powerful, really effective, and really moving classicism and beautiful formal ideas in your painting. I mean, again, I'm a total outsider here in the art world, but in the contemporary art world, I don't see a lot of this kind of old ideals and these like old master paintings and references. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think maybe people are afraid to be associated with maybe with enlightenment or with humanism or any of these super old, totally passe ideas. Mm-hmm. So I know how Phil thinks about all those things, and he's another painter who also incorporates those things into his work. But we were kind of wondering if this was like something that came forward totally on instinct, or if this was kind of more of a political conviction. And I kind of think you've answered it a little bit, but if you want to talk more about that.
It's all mixed up between things you want to do and things you happen to do. And when you paint, you want to do things, but things come, and this is what it is. I decide, but it's not completely calculated. I've always liked to combine different styles, different way of painting, because I like a lot of different painters, a lot of different styles, and depending on what ideas, what actions I want to represent, I will use instinctively more something cartoonish or more something realistic. Everything that I see that I like happens to, in a way or another, and in my canvases. When you look very close at a figurative painting, it becomes an abstract painting. Mm. And the brush strokes were as relevant for me than the painting when you look at it from a certain distance. Mm-hmm. So those two states, those two different ways of viewing the painting interested me. So I wanted to put that in my painting. So that's why there are all these things that are really paint, like splash, brush strokes, very heavy brush strokes, and things that are very sharp, things that are very photographic, and other things that are more like drawing. This is the way I work.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
As Georgina was saying, it's kind of passé today to be associated with humanism, with enlightenment. And I think there are good reasons for that, because people associate that with a legacy of colonialism, with technologies that allowed Europe to take political and economic control of the whole globe. So I understand why that critique exists, but I personally at times feel that there's also something very positive in that legacy, which we are missing today.
I feel like in the first question, it was beautifully articulated, feeling that like we have optimism and we kind of don't have a choice. It's like to like move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, and in movies and in series, you often see now people being very sadistic. Mm-hmm. There are murders in every series, and something that you cannot stop, and they are doing more and more and more. But it's not interesting. If you stick to something you believe in, then yeah, you have more chances than criticizing the thing you don't like.
That's really interesting what you just said about not casting humankind in this purely negative light, because I've been looking through all your paintings, and I feel like I'm actually guilty of precisely doing that, even where it's not meant to be interpreted that way. And a lot of the pastoral scenes in your painting, the figures in the scenes to me seem extremely dark, actually, and probably because I am afraid of humankind and where we're going. But there's this distortion and almost perversion in their faces, and they're super saturated. Some of them, even it feels like the skin off of their bones could be shedding right off and into the environment, and there's this blending And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, ah, human beings are such scum. Like, we ruin everything. And there's often like a can or an object that I'm like, they're going to leave that behind in this beautiful forest or, you know, in this beautiful pasture. And so I'm thinking, I'm immediately thinking all these negative things. Like, I'm thinking climate change and all of this stuff. So I'm very comforted that that's not actually what you're thinking all the time. Does that irritate you that that's where my mind went?
No, because so what you're talking about is maybe the fact that it reveals more a bit of anxiety. And this is what I think is remaining in my paintings, apart from the optimistic things. When I paint these faces, these bodies, it's more like showing the paint and showing the motion and showing the feelings and the fact that these figures are living bodies. So my intention is to show that it's living more than anything else. It's a way to represent life and motion.
Mm-hmm. It definitely feels that way.
Yeah, it's so dynamic. It's really very moving.
And I think this is a weakness of much contemporary figurative painting, is that the bodies don't look alive. They either look like stereotypes, typologies, or even like robots, but there's very little painting you see today that makes human beings look like human beings, like living fleshy people.
There are a lot of painters now.
Yeah,
more than
I don't want to speak. I don't want to speak too generally. It's true. It's just it's rare for me to see it.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
No, but it's true for what you say, that there's a lot of, there's so much, I mean, the media landscape is so saturated that it is hard to kind of, even us in our own bodies, remember what flesh and blood feels like, right? Because there's so many, even most of our interactions now are through computers, unfortunately, not most of them, but a lot of them. And so it's true that I see a lot of amazing painting, but I don't always see painting that viscerally makes me feel my own flesh and makes me think like that is a moving body. And so that's pretty rare, actually. Like, I see a lot of excellent, excellent painting, but it's sometimes more reminding me of technology or of likes or symbolism or something like that. And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's maybe because also we look a lot to paintings through computers, and this aspect, I mean, the fleshy things, the texture, the warmth of the painting, it's not visible on the computer. So the paintings that are more graphic, funny, quickly understandable, they gain a lot of access through computers. But all the painting that is more paint, it's harder to understand it. I'm living with technology as everybody, so it progressively infuses my art too, but it stays painting, because I also go to museums, and I've been to museums since I'm a child, so I know painting really.
Yeah, and I think it's also true to our experience today, which is like split between the screen and the world, right? Mm. Our experience today is partially digital, partially fleshy, I guess. And I think that also comes across. I think there's a tension between two different things that I see in your painting. On the one hand, there's this very contemporary, very postmodern level of surface and appearance. The flesh dissolves into the environment, the paint splatters, the cartoonish figures. But on the other hand, there's this almost physically deeper level of weight, structure, where bodies are moving, they have agency, and they know how to do things. And again, for me, this is an echo of a contemporary condition. On the one hand, we live in this kind of confusing media landscape where we're constantly being distracted, this kind of politics that constantly discourages us, makes us feel small, makes us feel confused. On the other hand, we are still living human agents. We are still human beings that are capable of making decisions and still capable of choosing the world that we live in. So for me,
when I look at some of your work, I kind of feel like this call to remember that beneath the flashy postmodern surface, we are still human beings capable of doing things.
Responsible
for doing things.
I like this interpretation. It's very interesting. It's maybe not exactly what I thought when I was doing them, which are very often scenes where there is action, and this action can be seen as something tragic, but it also can be seen as something funny. And people that are represented are as well escaping something dangerous as playing a game, like children when they are playing. And this feeling that we have when we are playing, and the body in action, the risks you're taking, the danger you're going through, these are what makes you feel living, you know? And these feelings are very important. And I mean, I want to connect the mind and the body,
yeah.
You know? So I want to recall that we are a mind, but a body too, and we have to do things with our bodies to think better too.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And you feel that tension when you see those paintings. You feel that there is that tension between, is this something slightly scary, or something of, are they playing a game of soccer? And it's just beautiful. It's true. We are thinking creatures, but we do tend to kind of leave our body by the wayside and forget that that's a crucial element, not just to our like living, but also to our thinking, actually, to how we process ideas and how we behave in our world. To me, I'm reminded of the fact that like within those same bodies in your painting, there are cartoon elements on the bodies themselves. And there's like a hand that will be almost like a digital hand or something like that. And I feel like that's yet another kind of way to express this feeling of like, we're this like mess, really, this mess of like contemporary media and television and all these marketing things that are like that inundate us on a daily basis, all these like images basically. And we're this mess of stuff, but
we still have bodies.
We still have these bodies.
Is there a relationship for you between your art and your politics? Is there a particular way you want your art to function politically in the world? Or is it kind of separate?
I think the paintings, the art is the way to express ideas. And my political ideas are in the paintings, even if I don't want expressly to put them inside. They appear despite of myself. It's maybe a small political act to paint, but it's a political act too, but always even in despite of myself.
What is the effect that you hope for?
That's what I said before. I expect people to feel the optimistic side of the paintings. Most important for me, I think, it's when people see that they talk to me about energy, about optimism, and about the need to be optimistic and to take risks. Simple, but it's the thing I think.
I think that's exactly what's missing from our politics today. There's a lot of understanding of the problem. You know, there's a lot of feeling of urgency, but there's no sense of optimism. There's no sense that we can improve. I think it is a political statement to
take risks also.
To take risks, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's important. Even if we do mistakes, if you don't take risks, you won't have any solution.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, no, I think, you know, we really appreciate this. We look forward to seeing you work in New York.
Yeah, let us know if you're showing in New York or in Chile.
Yeah, I'm going to show in New York in 2023. Yeah.
Oh, great. Excellent. Which gallery?
Holy Stagart.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Do you know what month? Maybe we could be there.
Yeah,
because we're splitting our time between the two countries.
We're living in New York and in Santiago, so let us know when.
I don't know yet the exact months, but it's in 2023. Yeah.
It's very,
very exciting. Yeah, congratulations.
I really want to see it in person. Thanks for talking.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'll get you informed.